morning, Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com, our anchor page. Check it out, but first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of the longest-running land dispute that I have ever heard of. A dispute over a patch of reservation land on the Warm Springs Indian Reservation that lasted more than a century. This story was first published on February 21st, 2010, under the headline, Dispute Over Reservation Land Lasted a Century. Warm Springs Indians struggled from 1871 to 1972 to get back a piece of land taken as a result of a survey error, and everyone admitted it was an error right from the start. Here we go. If there's a category in the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest-running land dispute, the 101-year struggle over the McQuinn Strip might just be a contender. But it might not qualify, because the land was only disputed for the first 16 of those years. The other 85 were taken up with a struggle to get the government to give the land back, something that didn't happen until 1972. Here's the story. In the 1850s, torrents of settlers were coming to Oregon, lured by the promise of free land. All one had to do was build a house, plant some crops, and clear the Indians off of it. These settlers were diligently doing all three of these things in 1855. General Joel Palmer, superintendent for Indian affairs, could see that this was going to lead to bloodshed in northern central Oregon, where the Walla Walla and Wasco tribes were strong, if something wasn't done. So, to forestall this, Palmer and the tribes worked out a deal. They would give up title to some 10 million acres in exchange for undisputed ownership of a 900,000-acre chunk of it, in which the government would agree not to let anyone settle. The Native Americans, though quite unhappy about the whole situation, recognized that this was probably the best they could expect. The deal was made, and the Warm Springs Indian Reservation was formed. 16 years later, in 1871, a surveyor opened up the land dispute by using the wrong mountains as a border marker, an error he certainly could have avoided had he talked to either the Indians or even the map, looked at the map that Palmer had sketched out. He apparently did neither of these two things. Perhaps he was in a hurry. But this error resulted in the 900,000-odd acres shrinking by almost 10%. Although the tribes protested immediately, the government promptly gave the survey its stamp of approval and green-lighted settlers who wanted bits of the disputed part. Well, in 1886, Congress finally had the place resurveyed. This work was done by John McQuinn the following year, and McQuinn confirmed that the earlier survey was, in fact, in error, thus bringing the dispute part of this story to an end. But possession is nine-tenths of the law, and by 1887, many settlers had claimed parts of the McQuinn Strip and were fighting furiously against any suggestion that they should give it up. Congress dithered. It formed a commission to study the problem. The commission recommended sticking with the faulty survey, even though it was wrong. In 1917, Congress offered a cash payment for the land, which the Native Americans refused. They wanted their land back. Finally, in 1930, Congress kicked the matter over to the courts, giving the tribes clearance to sue over it. I'm not sure why they needed clearance to sue in federal court, but apparently they did, and Congress gave it to them, and they promptly took advantage of the opportunity, and thus was launched one of the more baffling legal farces in state history. In 1941, the court agreed, yes, the Indians should have the land, but refused to give it to them. Instead, the court ruled they were entitled to a dollar an acre, which someone had decided, on the basis of who knows what, that that was what the land was worth in 1886 dollars, plus interest. So the total came to just over $240,000. Here's the rich part. The court then added that the government had had to spend a total of $252,089, quote, in behalf of the tribes, over the same period. By the way, a quick BS detecting tip. Anytime you see an odd amount like $252,089 and no backup information relating how that number was arrived at, you can bet money that that number was pulled out of someone's ear and given the oddness of the amount to give the illusion of precision. Okay, back to our story. So the upshot was that the court ruled that the tribes had to A, give up their claim on the land, and B, pay the government $11,005 for being so wonderful. I have not been able to determine for sure whether the tribes took this as an insult. It's certainly possible, in fact, I would bet, that it was intended as one. In any case, it went nowhere. Things started looking better after the war, though. In 1948, Congress passed a bill giving the tribes all the revenue from timber sales and grazing permits on their land. What was supposed to be their land, but wasn't quite yet. By 1970, this had brought the tribes almost $6 million and enabled them to build Kaneda Resort in the 1960s. I love a happy ending. And finally, in 1972, Richard Nixon signed a bill into law, co-sponsored, by the way, by Oregon Representative Al Ullman and Senators Bob Packwood and Mark Hatfield both, giving the land back. The Native Americans had won, although it certainly was something of a consolation prize considering they owned the entire, most of the eastern half of Oregon before 1855. Well, that's it for today's episode, and if you are listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get everything at our central website, which is at offbeatoregon.com. You'll find the complete catalog of about 190 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed, just in case you'd like to join the conversation. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story, which include, for today's episode, an article by George W. Lynn and the OHS.org website. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis? Drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. I'm proud to offer this podcast under a Creative Commons license. For details of that and what you can do with it and so forth, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. That's it for today. In coming attractions, our next episode will be the Thursday special, and you know what? I haven't decided what to do with it yet. So that'll be a surprise, and look for it after about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, and in the meantime, go fill up the rest of the day with good stuff.